White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
From Guaranteed Rate Field, I'm Connor McKnight, and welcome in to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. Shaping up to be a gorgeous day here at the ballpark. We've had a pretty good weekend weather-wise and event-wise. White Sox looking for a win against the A's this afternoon. Derek Holland and Sonny Gray are your starters, so we could have a pretty good one. We'll take you all the way up until the pregame show. We'll start that at 12:35 this afternoon. Let me get you all set up for the day's activities of baseball. But I do want to say just a couple of things real quick about what we're doing on the show today and how I do probably have to apologize for sounding a little weird or a little different than normal. I got to the ballpark, and as nice as it is out here today, it is gorgeous. You should come out to the game. I have been attacked by the allergies in the last hour or so, so if I do sound a little off, I do apologize, but all the Zyrtec in the world isn't going to clean this up in an hour and a half. What we do have for you, and as well as a bunch of apologies about the allergies, is a whole afternoon, well, morning, I guess, hour and a half of looking back at the Mark Burley 56 retirement ceremony. It was an awesome day out here yesterday. I mean, it was just so cool to see Mark, to see all of his old teammates, his coaches, so many people who are intrinsically connected to the White Sox organization, celebrating the career of a guy who did it in a unique way, who did it differently than a lot of other pitchers he was contemporary with, did it differently than a lot of guys, a lot of his teammates. And I think he was well respected and incredibly well liked, obviously, for the way he went about his business, for his talents, to be sure, and for the kind of guy he is. So we'll listen back through a lot of the conversation, a lot of the speeches that were made yesterday. We'll kind of relive the number 56 retirement ceremony for Mark Burley from yesterday afternoon here at the ballpark. I know not everybody could make it, but boy, we had 40,000-plus in the ballpark who did see it. So in case you missed it, or in case you just want to relive it and do it again, we've got a whole afternoon, or morning, I should say, planned for you to kind of relive the number retirement ceremony of Mark Burley. A couple of things to get out of the way, though, before we get into some things Hawk Harrelson said yesterday about number 56, some things that Don Cooper said and Frank Thomas said, and of course, Mark Burley's speech. We do have a couple of pieces of news about the White Sox just this afternoon, or just this morning, I should say, from yesterday afternoon that we wanted to bring to you here. It has been brought to our attention that Carlos Rodon is here at the ballpark and will speak to reporters after the White Sox are finished taking BP. So you'll hear from Carlos either here in White Sox Weekly as soon as we can get that turned around to you, or in the White Sox pregame show, whichever one we're able to get it to faster. So Carlos is here. It does sound like his next start may, in fact, be with the White Sox. Still waiting on confirmation there, but it sounded really positive from Ricky Renteria yesterday that Carlos would be able to rejoin the White Sox rotation much sooner rather than later. Yeah, the rehab starts in Charlotte had not gone well results-wise, but I think the White Sox, from the get-go, had really been talking about the need for Carlos to just get out there, throw pitches, build stamina, feel comfortable, all that good stuff. The strikeouts were there, that's for sure. He had 7 in, I think it was 4 2/3 in his last rehab start, though he did give up 7 runs. Ricky mentioned that the defense for Charlotte that night might not have been as top-notch as it otherwise could have been. That happens. And again, for Carlos and for the White Sox, the most important thing is that he's feeling healthy, that the stuff looks good, that the velocity is there, and indeed, it does sound like all those things are there, so we could get a major league start from Carlos perhaps the next time around in the rotation. And as to what that means for David Holmberg and the rest of that White Sox rotation, who will, you know, likely soon get Miguel Gonzalez back as well, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But of course, we'll keep you covered here on White Sox Weekly and all over WLS AM 890 as to what's going on with the White Sox. Yesterday, speaking of what's going on, it was a tough ball game after the Mark Burley ceremony. 5 errors, 3 by the A's and 2 by the White Sox. Some sloppy play and couple of home runs by the A's. A historic day. Unfortunately, the White Sox on the wrong side of it. The A's had 3 different players hit their first career home runs yesterday. That hadn't happened since 1914 when the Kansas City Packers were in the Federal League. So I don't, you know, whether you want to count that or not, that's totally up to you. But the defense, the slips in defense and perhaps a bad call here or there cost the White Sox their third baseman yesterday. Todd Frazier was ejected from a ballgame for the first time in his big league career. Ricky Renteria followed him out, and he was ejected as well. That's three straight home games where Ricky's been ejected. He was ejected just 2 days ago when Tim Anderson was ejected after arguing a call on a bouncer in front of the plate. And for Ricky, you know, we heard some of his comments in the postgame yesterday about how, you know, he's just asking umpires. And again, he understands, he's made it really clear that he understands that that's not an enviable job, especially once a player gets into an argument like that, where perhaps an umpire had missed a call. I mean, we have replay for these purposes. But Ricky's just been asking umpires to understand or be a little bit more lenient. Understand's the wrong word. Be a little more lenient with players who are, in Ricky's words, completely invested in this game. You know, completely invested in each and every outcome on the diamond. And, you know, you can argue that the umpire is as well, but, you know, for that player, it's, I don't know, perhaps just so much more visceral. So in going out there and arguing for his guys, in going out there and arguing with an umpire afterward and trying to prove that point or make that point, stress that point to the umpire and crew, Ricky's been tossed a couple of times. Todd Frazier spoke after the ballgame last night. And he spoke after the postgame show was over. So I wanted to bring it to you here. He is a vocal leader on this ball club. He leads by example as well. His words carry some weight here. And I think it was probably fairly important for White Sox fans to hear what he said in case you missed it last night. Here is Todd Frazier after being ejected on a call over at first base where the umpire had ruled that Jose Abreu could not hold the bag, that Todd Frazier's throw took him just off first base. Here's Todd.
You know, I've been part of a couple where it's been close, but, you know, just made the wrong call. That's the bottom line. You know, looking back on it, looking at video and stuff like that, I just love to see, you know, not only did he make the wrong call, they made the wrong call in New York, too, as well. You know, caution error, too. I mean, at the bottom line, you know, it's a team game, but at the same time, you play this game hard, you play defense hard. You know, I take my defense seriously, and to make a call like that, you know, you know, we're down six. Okay, whatever. It's still baseball. Turned into a big inning now. They got, what did we give up, three runs after that? And now, you know, our pitcher's in the hole on a call that should have been, you know, should have been called differently. And you know, what are you going to do after that? But I'm not going to let that go. That's one of those things where he's got to understand that, you know, you can't just, you know, make a bad call. And that's it. I had to let him know. That's it. I thought it was quick. You know, I said some things that, you know, we're borderline, I guess, but at the same time, it's just frustrating, man. It's frustrating. You can't get the call right in New York, too, as well, when they got every different angle. They can zoom in. They can zoom in as close as possible, and to think that they cannot, you know, make that call, it's just frustrating with the technology we have today. It's just crazy. It boggles your mind. It really does. You know, I'm the one, I'm vocal, I'm emotional, but, you know, when it's wrong, 100% wrong, I saw it on the MLB Network, I saw it in our cameras and our computers, and I just don't understand how we can see it and they can't see it in New York. It's frustrating as all hell, to be honest with you. It turned a big inning, you know, we were down a lot, don't get me wrong, but still, you know, Jacob's pitching his heart out. Next thing you know, he gets an unearned run and then gives up two more runs. So, you know, it's really not that hard, honestly. It's not that hard. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you take it for granted. Every game's important. And to make a call like that, which was wrong, it's frustrating.
That's White Sox third baseman Todd Frazier. And I think, you know, honestly, it's, you know, sometimes you get honesty out of these players, and sometimes you don't. And I think with Todd, that's just kind of pure honesty there. And I think White Sox fans, I think baseball fans probably can appreciate that. You know, the guy is, as Ricky has said a couple of times here, as, you know, Tim was thrown out 2 days ago, Todd yesterday. These guys are invested in this, and that's what you ask out of your ball players for sure. That's what you hope for each and every one of those guys that's out there. And I think that's the case more often than not, but you know, with Todd being as honest as he was about what he saw, about what he was able to see afterward, about what the call was, you got to respect that. You've got to respect that. And I think, too, you know, we talked about this on the postgame show as well, and Ricky Renteria has mentioned this, and I think Todd made some concessions to it, too. There are lines that can't be crossed with umpires. There absolutely are. There has to be, you know, a sense of rule and order in this game. I'm not advocating for, you know, mass hysteria and anarchy or anything. There are things that cannot be said. There are gestures that cannot be made. There is contact that cannot be made. Those are lines, right? Those are absolutely hard and fast lines. Save that, though. You know, without crossing those lines, I think it is pretty fair to ask for a little bit of time, to, as long as the player's not escalating the situation, let him have his say, right? I mean, let that guy have his say. You're not going to change the, if you're the umpire, you're not changing the call based on that argument. No one ever has, right? There's never been an umpire who goes, well, you've got a fair point there. You were very loud and very animated, so we'll go ahead and flip that for it. No, that's not happening. But to let the guy vent, to let him have his say, to let him have some sort of sway over perhaps the next one. You know, that's been a part of this game for a while. It seems to be a pretty decent way to regulate it. And again, as long as those lines, those, you know, three lines, the things you can't say, contact you can't make, and gestures you can't do, until you've crossed those, I think perhaps a little more leniency is not a terrible idea. You can vote today, you can vote tomorrow, but not that many more days. Only four more days of All-Star voting left. Vote Avi and Abreu for your 2017 White Sox All-Stars with the Esurance MLB All-Star Game Ballot. Vote at whitesox.com/vote and catch all the excitement of the 88th MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard July 11th live on Fox. When we get back, we will start to relive Mark Burley's number retirement ceremony. 56 is up there in the rafters alongside 11 others, plus Jackie Robinson. Pretty cool day yesterday. In case you missed any of it, we've got it all for you coming up on White Sox Weekly. This is WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. We've got good news for you. Just during the break, found out from the intrepid White Sox beat reporters downstairs as they were talking to Ricky Renteria, Carlos Rodon's next start will indeed be with the Chicago White Sox. That is great news. Sox have been without Carlos Rodon since the very beginning of the season. Biceps bursitis had been the diagnosis in spring training. Sat out for a long time, and you know, it was kind of a bit before we found out exactly what was going on and before Carlos was able to get back onto a throwing program. His last start was September 30th against the Minnesota Twins. I think White Sox fans will remember that last couple of starts. He was pretty darn good. He in eight innings against the Cleveland Indians, he struck out 11. He was fantastic, and that's I don't think I've ever seen Carlos have stuff, maybe once or twice, but stuff that was that consistently good. And then six innings against the Twins, he gave up two earned. He struck out another 10. Kind of an up-and-down year last year for Carlos. Bounced back after the All-Star break and started to get things a little bit more consistent. Two rough starts in September, one against the Indians and then one against the Royals right before he pitched those two quality, really solid starts at the end of the year, those last two starts. And for him, and I think for most of the for the White Sox future, for the franchise, he is a big piece indeed, right? I mean, he is, you know, a guy you can dream on a little bit. He's that next big future piece of the rotation. I really thought that this season would be one where he takes a massive step forward, and he still can, don't get me wrong. But to lose the first, you know, almost full 3 months of baseball is, you know, a little bit of a setback as far as a guy who's looking to make those next steps in his major league career. So to hear that we don't have a day specifically yet, still waiting to find out exactly what day and what game Carlos will start, but the White Sox are home for a little bit here. Novelty, too. They haven't been home much at all this year. But they are home, of course. They get the Yankees tomorrow for three, and then they'll host, I'm sorry, the Yankees tomorrow for four games. I'd forgotten that's a four-game set. All the Aaron Judge you can handle. Going to be right here at Guaranteed Rate Field. And then three with the Texas Rangers as June turns into July before they head on the road against Oakland, an off day, and then three against the Colorado Rockies before the All-Star break sets in on Monday, July 10th. The All-Star game is the 11th, and you can still vote, by the way, MLB.com or ChicagoWhiteSox.com, and just click the big thing that says vote. It's very easy to find. And click all your White Sox, or, you know, as many as you like. Speaking of White Sox fans, you could join us on Friday, June 30th, for Mullet Night and a postgame fireworks show. It's all presented by Great Clips. The night features haircuts courtesy of Great Clips and mullet wigs for purchase to support Ronald McDonald House Charities. I laugh, but that's a great cause. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Purchase your tickets today by visiting WhiteSox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME. Good news on Carlos Rodon. You'll hear from him in White Sox Weekly if indeed we can turn it around that fast. We have the finest technical producers in all of the land working back at the station. So if it's at all possible, we're going to have it for you. If we don't, you'll hear it in the pregame show coming up at 12:35. Told you earlier on that we were going to be reliving a bit of the Mark Burley retirement ceremony yesterday. I can't tell you, that's one of the coolest things I've covered in my career, watching Major League Baseball, covering Major League Baseball. That was just so, smiles from ear to ear on every face here in the ballpark. It was just a really cool thing to watch. And when they lifted, they did the countdown, Hawk and Mark and his two children did the countdown from 5 to 1. They lifted the banner, and there it was, number 56, with his name right there along the other all-time greats here with the White Sox. It was an incredibly cool moment. And I wanted to make sure that, in case you missed any of it, in case you weren't able to get to the ballpark, in case you're driving around this afternoon and just want to smile, I thought we'd bring you some of it here on White Sox Weekly over the next hour or so. We've got the 11:30 news coming up in just a few, but we'll start it with this, and what better way to do it. Hawk Harrelson was your MC for the event down on the field, and he gave an introduction about why we were here, what we were up to, and what kind of guy Mark Burley was. So here he is, Hawk Harrelson, voice of the White Sox, telling you a little bit about what's going on and the event, getting you set for the retirement ceremony of number 56, Mark Burley. Here's Hawk.
Yeah, team players in White Sox history. This guy is something special and always will be. There's no doubt he was an elite White Sox player. And today we enshrine him as the great we all know him to be by retiring that number 56. Each day moving forward, nobody ever in a White Sox uniform will wear that number. And you know, his story really is something like a fairy tale, because he was a young guy in a Missouri town, a little small Missouri town, aspiring to be a major league pitcher. He didn't have a good fastball. He didn't have a good breaking ball. Changeup was decent at best. Don Cooper, when he first joined us, said, look, there's a left-hander down there we just signed in the 38th round. Why don't you go over and look at him? So I went down there, looked at him, and I said, well, I want to see him one more time. I saw him one more time. Cooper said, what do you think? I said, well, he doesn't throw hard. Breaking ball is just a roller, but I like him. He said, good, because I do too. And they signed him in the 38th round. And, of course, the one thing that really you could not tell about a youngster at that age was how much heart he had and the kind of stones he had. They were both very big. And his career... for us here on the South Side, he played 12 major league seasons from 2000 to 2011, four-time American League All-Star, and was a starting and winning pitcher in the 2005 All-Star game. He was a three-time Gold Glove winner, and all Sox fans know he should have won it 12 years in a row because that's how good he was. He was 42 games over 500. With an ERA of 3.83, he pitched more than 2,400 innings, 27 complete games, 8 shutouts, recorded almost 1,400 strikeouts, which ranks fourth among franchise leaders, also ranks among franchise leaders in starts, quality starts, wins, strikeout-to-walk ratio, innings pitched, and games pitched. And, you know, for all those achievements, the things we remember most was him throwing that 16th no-hitter in White Sox history on this field back on April 18th, 2007. And also throwing the clubs in this, in over the 6,000 games I've broadcast in my career, this was my favorite game of all. throwing the club's second perfect game on July 23rd against Tampa Bay right here on this field. And one of four pitchers to throw a complete game in 2005 ALCS. And saving game three of the World Series in the 14th inning as our Sox went on to sweep the Astros for the World Championship. And throughout all this, there was one guy who noticed him right up front and then became his pitching coach and then became his great friend. And right now, let's bring up to the podium our great White Sox pitching coach, Don Cooper.
So you'll hear from Don Cooper after the 11:30 news, Hawk introducing him. We've kind of chopped up the ceremony from yesterday, bringing it to you piece by piece. It gave me chills to think about some of the memories that Mark Burley made here at Guaranteed Rate Field. Of course, the World Series in 05, the save, and some of the stories he tells about that World Series save, about coming back in after he knew he wasn't going to pitch. I mean, my goodness, just the whole career. I guess everybody has stories to tell about their time in baseball, but Mark seems to tell them with a certain joy for him. He really does. We'll hear the rest of the Mark Burley retirement ceremony. We'll bring you the Don Cooper speech that he gave about that young man, Mark Burley. His teammate Frank Thomas, the Hall of Famer, spoke as well. Jerry Reinsdorf, the chairman of the White Sox, spoke as well. A lot of gifts were given to Mark Burley yesterday, and he deserved every single one of them. I think the one he probably appreciated most was the applause from these 40,000 White Sox fans gathered yesterday to watch his number be retired. Really an incredible day, and we're bringing it all to you here on White Sox Weekly. News is next. More to come here on WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we are reliving yesterday's retirement ceremony for Mark Burley, number 56. Nobody will wear it again. It's up in the rafters alongside the luminaries of White Sox baseball. Pretty cool event yesterday, and we didn't want you to have to miss any of it in case you did miss yesterday's ballgame, or if you were the one of the 40,000-plus here at the ballpark. Maybe you want to relive it with us. 312-245-0421 is the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. I suppose we'll have a little time for phone calls later on in the show if you want to hop in and get involved. A little bit of a different setup. We're going to eschew the minor league report, though there have been a couple of really good performances. We wanted to make it mostly and primarily about Mark Burley's event yesterday. Family Sundays, though, feature tickets as low as $5 in the upper level, $15 in the lower level, parking for only $10, plus special kid-focused activities located throughout the ballpark. Family Sundays are proudly presented by Coca-Cola. Visit whitesox.com/Sundays to purchase your tickets today. Did find out a little bit of news here just during White Sox Weekly a couple of minutes ago, just before the news. Carlos Rodon's next start will, in fact, be with the Chicago White Sox. He is going to speak with them. Looking down on the field right now, making sure I can get my angles. Sox are just finishing up BP here. And let me tell you, if you're coming to the ballpark or thinking about it, I would say today's the day to get here. The ball is jumping today. I mean, there were some prodigious homers hit in BP by the White Sox just a couple of minutes ago. Watching it was a fireworks show, really. Matt Davidson hit one that probably hasn't landed yet. It could be a fun one here at the ballpark. A lot of home runs, perhaps. The ball seems to move a lot today. Other than that, after BP is done, Carlos Rodon is set to talk with White Sox beat reporters, and we'll bring that to you here on White Sox Weekly, if indeed we've got time for that. Otherwise, you'll hear it during the pregame show. No worries there. But Carlos is ready to make his next start for the Chicago White Sox. Still waiting to find out exactly what day that'll be, what game that'll be. I would imagine it's likely that that's against the Yankees. They're here for four, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's the Texas Rangers here in town. It'll be another split White Sox weekly that weekend, half an hour on Saturday, hour and a half on Sunday. But I would imagine that on one of those shows, for sure, we're talking about Carlos Rodon's first start with the White Sox here in 2017. It'll be great to see Carlos come out here He's a big piece of the future for the White Sox, big piece of the present as well. It'd be nice to get him on the mound and watch the young lefty work against some major league competition. Speaking of pitching, yesterday was a celebration of one left-hander, Mark Burley, of course, his number 56 up in the rafters now. Don Cooper, who was his pitching coach for almost all of Burley's major league career, and obviously the two of them, I think, formed a bond that both in baseball, both in terms of the, you know, the philosophy of the game, the philosophy of pitching, and outside, formed a bond that's it's a pretty special one between player and coach, the way Coop and Burley work. And I thought, you know, you hear from Don Cooper every single first game of a series on the pregame show, and he and I have been talking a little bit about Burley the last couple of series, you know, just little snippets here and there, conversations. But, you know, Coop had a chance to talk about Mark Burley just by himself, just, you know, out there a couple of minutes, Coop's memories of Mark and the things that stood out to him most. I thought it was one of the cooler moments of yesterday's celebration. So here he is, White Sox pitching coach Don Cooper.
I'm not sure why I'm speaking today. I guess my best guess is because I was his coach for 10 years. But trust me when I tell you, I learned a lot more from him than I gave to him. I'm sure of that. And it's a lot of things that I still use today with all of the players that we've had. These days don't happen often. There's not many numbers up there. It's certainly a huge day. I don't usually script stuff, and I didn't script this, but I wanted to make sure that I said a few things. Things that I'm grateful for, I'm thankful for, I'm happy for. First of all, I'm happy for all the fans that are coming out to support them on this day. For who he is, what he did, and how he did it for such a long period of time. I'm not here to talk about the no-hitters, the World Series, or the perfect game. That's documented. Everybody knows that. I'm real happy for his mom and dad. I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine the pride that they're feeling today, and they deserve every bit of it. They were here for a long time. They knew he was special way before we learned that. I'm happy for his wife, Jamie, to be here and do this. She was a rock for him for so long. And how cool is it for his children to be here to watch this, to find out how many people in Chicago love him and how much he's loved. I'm happy for all the former teammates to be here, all the guys that supported him, that were with him, all of the world champion guys that are here. They took us on quite a ride in 2005, and believe me, as coaches, we were just along for the ride. They took it and ran with it. If we tried to sabotage what was going on as coaches, we couldn't do it because it had a life of its own. And we were destined that year to win it, and hopefully we're building now for the future. That's our plan now, to see if we can get another one. Lastly, I want to thank Mark for giving me a front seat, the best seat in the house, to watch this, to watch what he did all the time, all year. Thanks for him, from the team, the teammates, the organization, and what he did for the city and fans of Chicago. Thank you, Mark.
It's Don Cooper in his speech yesterday, helping celebrate Mark Burley's number retirement ceremony. It was a pretty cool day, just to watch, you know, to talk to Coop the way we do here at the ballpark as often as we do, and to hear him talk about Burley. It's just a different. It's almost wistful, and rightly so. I mean, why shouldn't it be? A lot of great memories for those two guys all the way back through the 05 World Series, the perfect game, the no hitter, the whole thing, and Coop brought it to a personal level too. I know his parents were very instrumental. Burley's in everything he did. I think Burley even told the story, and we'll play Burley's speech a little bit later. But Mark was cut twice from his freshman and sophomore baseball teams, And his parents, you know, kept at him. Hey, you get back up. You go back out for this squad your junior year and see what happens. And there he is. He gets drafted in the 38th round. And I talked with Mark 2 days ago, the day before the ceremony, and he mentioned that had he gone back into the draft, that he, you know, stayed in college, gone to, you know, pitch at school a little bit longer, he thinks he would have been drafted higher, and he's probably right. I mean, you saw the career he had. But to have those things going against you in a major league career, he didn't play 2 years of high school baseball. He got drafted in the 38th round. He never threw 95. Just to turn out the way he did, pretty incredible, and a lot of guys realize that. Frank Thomas, his former teammate and a Hall of Famer for sure, spoke as well, and it's quick here. We'll get to a break after this, take a couple of phone calls, hear from Jerry Reinsdorf, hear from Mark Burley himself. And Burley was up in the booth with Ed and DJ yesterday, and we chopped up some of that in between some of the play-by-play and some of the conversation that those guys had. I mean, you talk about guys who could talk forever. I mean, those guys could have talked 2 hours just remembering old stories and ball games and games Burley pitched, games he didn't pitch, tarp slides he made, all that good stuff. It was a great conversation between Ed, DJ, and Mark Burley yesterday. We'll bring you that as well. Here, though, the Hall of Famer, Frank Thomas, remembering his friend, Mark Burley.
Thank you. You know, I love all of you. Well, the first thing I want to say is I'm honored to be here today. On behalf of Mark Burley, I don't need paper. I don't need paper. I could talk for 2 or 3 hours about this guy. I was along on this ride from day one when he came off the backfield. And they said, we're going to try this kid, Burley. He wasn't drafted high, but he seems like he's got pitching instincts. Well, that day he struck out Larry Walker, who was the best hitter in baseball, and dominated him the next day with the same type of pitches, with the tenacity who he is. I just want to say I'm honored. I love you, Jamie, Mr. and Ms. Burley, the Burley family. This is a special young man. When you look up makeup of a baseball player, it should be Mark Burley in the dictionary. Because he was never flustered. I don't care how great the players were, how big the game was. His goal was to get us out of there in 2 hours and 15 minutes. A lot of heart. I've seen a lot of great players. I played with a lot of great players. But this one right here had more instincts of any player I ever faced in my life. And yes, I did face him when I was in Toronto. And it was the most uncomfortable at bat I've ever had. Well, I did go deep one time, but you dominated me the other three at bats. I just want to say, love you guys. You're the best fans in baseball. Mark Burley deserves this. Congratulations. Stop being modest. You're one of the greatest pitchers that ever toed this rubber in Comiskey Park, ever.
That's Frank Thomas honoring his friend Mark Burley. That was fantastic. I laughed when I heard, you can hear Mark over the mic. After Frank is talking about the most uncomfortable at bat he ever had facing Mark Burley, and you hear Mark Burley go, yeah, he took me deep, though, you, and then, well, he trailed off. Mics were hot, after all, but that's the kind of guy he was. You know, that's just the kind of guy. It's the kind of day it was yesterday, too. We got to take a break real quick. When we come back, you'll hear from Jerry Reinsdorf. You'll hear from Mark Burley. Good news for the White Sox today, in case you're just tuning in. Carlos Rodon's next start will be at the major league level. We don't have a day yet set, but as soon as we hear from Carlos, we'll bring it to you here on the show or on the pregame show, whichever we're able to do for you. You've got WLS AM 890, and this is White Sox Weekly. We'll be back with more remembrance of Mark Burley's retirement ceremony yesterday. I'm Connor McKnight. We'll be right back. Sox fans, you can join us as the White Sox take on the Seattle Mariners Saturday, July 15th at 6:10 p.m. The first 20,000 fans will receive a White Sox cap presented by the Private Bank. Purchase your tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME. This is White Sox Weekly. We're taking you up to the pregame show at 12:35, about a half an hour left, a little bit more here on White Sox Weekly. We have still to get to Mark Burley's speech and thanking everybody here for the honor bestowed on him yesterday. His number 56 was retired by the ball club yesterday. You'll hear that in a little bit. You'll also hear Ed and DJ have a conversation with Mark Burley too. It was really cool to hear those guys, you know, kind of go after a little bit. In fact, you know, let's do this. I'm going to do a little producing on the fly here, and Tyler Bravo, our producer back at the shed, is apt and adept at what he's doing. Let's go to two things that we'll get to here in this segment before we get to the 12 o'clock news. We'll hear Mark Burley's speech thanking everybody for coming and his remembrances of his career. We'll play that. But first, real quickly here, I believe we have it. Ricky Renteria spoke earlier today, earlier this morning, about Carlos Rodon coming back to the ball club, back into the rotation. They don't have a day set yet, but it is good news. So I want to bring you that. I believe we have it here, Ricky Renteria.
Well, we're still going to talk about when he'll slot in, but he's back, and obviously you guys have seen him, and we're glad he's back.
So in terms of slot in, will it be here, and you're just not sure?
No,
of the day?
It'll be here.
So that's what we know so far. We'll bring the rest to you, and we'll hear from Carlos, too. I think he's talking with reporters right now down in the dugout. The White Sox have wrapped up BP, so I believe that was the schedule. You'll hear from Carlos either at the end of White Sox Weekly or in the pregame show. Once we get things started, Sox and A's going to get going at 1:10 this afternoon. Mark Burley was the man of the hour yesterday. He gave a speech and was nervous for it. He mentioned a couple of times public speaking is not exactly his favorite thing. Much rather be out there on the mound, I think he said. But wanted to bring it to you. He was the focal point of yesterday's activities here at the ballpark. Here he is, number 56, Mark Burley.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not good at this stuff, so I should be on the mound right now, not standing here in front of this mic talking to you guys. I actually gave Brooks trouble when he called and asked me about, hey, Jerry's wanting to retire your number, White Sox are to have the ceremony for you, and I was like, man, I was expecting to call that you're looking for a pitcher and not retire my number, so apparently I'm old and washed up and they don't want me anymore, but yeah, this is an amazing feeling. First off, I'd like to see Jamie, Braden, and Brooklyn. Can you guys come up here, please?
You stand here.
They've been by my side from day one, so I don't want to change that up and have them sitting over there. They need to be here by my side. Two reasons. One, when I pass out, they're going to catch me. More importantly, though, like I said, they've been there every step of the way. So thank you guys for your love and support. The sacrifices you guys have gone through. I mean, you guys did a lot of traveling. You're up here. You weren't around your friends. There's a lot of stuff you guys had to go through. So I thank you guys for that, and I love you. We're gone a lot during the season. I don't know if you guys know. Even when we're at home, we're not really home. And it made my job easier when we're out traveling and every 5 days to go out there and pitch, knowing that The Rock was at home taking care of the kids and the house, everything was taken care of. So I think all you guys owe this one a round of applause too. So. Mr. Reinsdorf, White Sox organization, I mean, I can't thank you enough for what you guys have done. Hey, get up here. I didn't tell you to sit down. Right here. I told you, don't listen to your mother. You guys have made a huge impact on me and my family's life on and off the field, and I can't thank you enough. One, you fulfilled my dream to be able to play professional baseball. Every kid dreams of doing that, and you guys gave me the opportunity. Hopefully I pleased you and did everything I did that you could ask for. So thank you guys very much. I can't thank you enough. Managers, coaches, training staff, support staff, some guys are here. I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your schedule. Cliff had to get off his lawnmower cutting grass to be here, so I appreciate that, Cliff. Thank you guys for taking time out to be here. But every one of these guys and people that aren't here, they've had an impact on my career, and I couldn't have done it without these guys, whether they're behind me playing, whether it was in the training room getting ready before the game, whatever it may have been. But I wouldn't be standing here without every one of those guys, so thank you guys. Family and friends, I think there's a few of them here, somewhere down there, I think. There they are. But it actually blew me away When we kind of told friends and this got out, that how many people reached out and said they were coming here. Some close friends, some people we haven't talked to for a while. But it just makes me feel good, obviously, that many people can stand and put up with me. But it just for them to drive up here and take a weekend out of their schedules, and their busy schedules, it means a lot. So thank you guys for being here. Thanks for helping out with Jamie and the kids. Whenever, you know, she was needing help, you guys went out of your way to help her out. And obviously, you guys know Mom and Dad's here, and Jamie's mom are down here. So thank you guys also. And last but not least, you guys, the fans. You guys have been so good to me over my career, and obviously still, even my career's over. And I can't thank you guys enough. You guys have been so good to me. I spent a third of my life here, and nowhere else I'd rather spend it than here on the south side of Chicago. So thank you, everybody on TV, people that are here, people that are not here. I can't thank you guys enough. Thank you.
Mark Burley's speech at Guaranteed Rate Field yesterday, his number 56 retired by the organization, a really cool day, and I was really glad to bring as much of it to you here on the show as we could. Some good news for the White Sox. You'll hear from Carlos Rodon in just a few minutes here on White Sox Weekly or in the pregame show. That just depends on what we're able to turn around for you, but Carlos will pitch this week for the White Sox here at Guaranteed Rate Field. Still waiting on a day, but we'll let you know as soon as we do. The 12 o'clock news is next. You'll hear Mark Burley sit down with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson after that. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Now, White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back into White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, kind of reliving the Mark Burley number retirement ceremony yesterday. We just played Mark Burley's speech just before the 12 o'clock news. You'll hear Mark sit down with Ed and DJ during the game yesterday. Really cool conversation between the three of them. You can, in case you missed parts of the show today and the ceremony yesterday, or if you just want stuff in perpetuity, you can head over to WLSAM.com/White Sox and check out the podcast of the show. We'll post everything up there. So you can, if you want, you can just have Mark Burley's whole speech as a ringtone. It would be lengthy. You'd have a lot of people waiting for you to pick up the phone. It was like 6 minutes. So, you know, maybe that's not practical, but you could do it is all I'm saying. Sox fans, you can join us as the White Sox take on the Mariners Saturday, July 15th at 6:10 p.m. First 20,000 fans will receive a White Sox cap presented by the Private Bank. You can purchase your tickets today by visiting WhiteSox.com or by calling 866-SOX-GAME. Also, some news. Carlos Rodon will make his next start for the White Sox here at Guaranteed Rate Field. Not exactly sure what day yet, but the White Sox will have four with the Yankees coming up this week and then three over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the Texas Rangers. So one of those games is going to be started by Carlos. Ricky Renteria did not mention exactly how the rotation would shake out, though you have to imagine that David Holmberg likely goes back into the bullpen. Somebody's going to have to be moved out, which is unfortunate for sure, but you know, Carlos is a big piece of this organization, and his development is a big part of moving forward, and like Hawk mentioned yesterday, winning championships. So, without any further ado, Mark Burley in the booth with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson yesterday after his number 56 went down in history as one of the 11 retired numbers for the Chicago White Sox.
A third inning in Oakland has paired runs, if you will. Two-run homer in the first, two runs across in the second. Here in the third, we have one of our great friends with us, and actually a really good pitcher as well, Mark Burley. And Mark, your son and your daughter, talk about overshadowing their dad on the day where you retired the number, please. What did you do to these kids? You got them singing? You got one throwing baseballs?
I give that every day of the week. I'd take the spotlight off me and put it on somebody else.
And your beautiful wife, Jamie, is here with you. And I got to tell you something. For Darren, myself, everybody connected with the organization, debt of gratitude, certainly, for the numbers that you put on the board, but also for the way you handle yourself as a gentleman with your family coming first, because that's big.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's one of the biggest compliments I can get, and I honestly think that's the biggest reason why I kind of called it quits and went home.
Yeah.
Not being last 3 years in Toronto, family wasn't there,
Tough to do that, isn't it?
It wore on me. Yeah. And it got to the point where I wasn't having fun on the field anymore. And I said, you know what? I'm not looking to keep on playing as long as I can and go home. And next thing you know, my kids are walking out the door going to college.
Here's Shields with the 2-0 pitch. That's a strike call, 2-1.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mark. And I was thinking about this because you have so many tremendous accomplishments throughout your career, world championship, all those things. But what individual thing do you take away from your career that you're most proud of?
The World Series obviously was the biggest accomplishment because that's what we play this game for. But there was so much stuff personally that happened on the field that I've always said never will happen. I've learned not to use the word never again because that stuff that happened to me, it shouldn't have happened. Perfect game, no hitter like that. I'm not the guy that strikes guys out, so I have to have everything going my way. Ball's going to the position guys, and they're fielding it, not making errors. So, there's a lot of stuff that comes to mind that I had a great career, but it just still blows me away that a lot of that stuff happened.
You look back on it, and you go, that was me?
Pretty much.
I've said many times, I said, Burley's pitching like his car's double parked outside our facility here. He has to get home to his family. The 3-2, I fly to left, that's fouling out of play.
Yeah, I'm trying to do you guys a favor, get you out of here soon. Saving your voice for the next
that's
couple days.
Nice of you.
Yeah, you know, so I'm here for everybody.
Talk about the Mulder game where you guys had they had to hold up the fireworks for an hour and a half because it was still light out.
And Jermaine Dye probably hit 2 home runs off me. We lost 2-1 because it felt like every time me and Mulder got matched up, it was a low-scoring, quick game, and Jermaine Dye always did something off me.
There's a high fly to left field. This is a play for Melky Cabrera on the warning track, and left makes the catch. And that takes care of Alonso. One out in the Oakland third. We're dealing with Mark Burley, number 56, retired. I got to tell you this. We were driving in yesterday. Guess what was next to us on the roadway coming in on 55?
A deer.
No. A white truck. It had 27. There it goes. There's Burley's truck.
Ed and I were driving together. I go, hey, look at that truck. Hey, it's a Sox truck. I go, it's got 27. Wait a minute. That's Burley's truck.
He let me drive yesterday, too.
How'd that go?
Something you never let me do. You never let me drive you to the ballpark.
Well, half the time in a golf cart, I had to go find my ball. You were down the fairway, and I was in the rough and in the woods, so I dropped you off, and I had to drive around.
Well, you've got a couple vehicles. Now, what's the other one for, that green one? What was that for?
Well, now I just got surprised. There's a big group of guys. I'm a member of a duck club back home, and there's a bunch of guys here. And they said as soon as they brought it out, they started screaming and cheering because they're like,
fine.
That's our new mobile down at the duck club. Like, we get to take this thing out. So apparently that's where that's going. I wasn't aware of this yet, but that's where it's going.
There's a runner at first on a base hit, and here's Barreto, his major league debut here. He's 0-1 with a strikeout. That's down for ball one. You know, I'm not going much further without this saying hello to your mom and dad either, because instrumental in your life, certainly that transcends through your family right now. But talk about two great people. Don't come any better than your mom and dad.
Yeah, obviously mom and dad, like, again, family and friends, there's so many people. I was blown away with the amount of people that was coming up here and telling us, hey, we're coming, not even asking for tickets.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey, we're coming to the game. We're not going to miss it for anything. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that touched, my life and my career. And obviously mom and dad, from a kid growing up, driving me all over the place.
Yeah.
Talking me into going back out for my junior year of high school when I got cut my first 2 years. So, there's a lot of people that's touched my career, and it's been outstanding.
Just a note for you on this. I'm going to whisper this. You've touched all of us with your career. Got that?
Well,
it's not that way around. It's the other way.
Well, I don't look at it that way.
I
go out there and just pitch and try to get out. So it's
you got the baseball. Today I brought out the ball. The one through your legs. And come on.
The one I said, what am I doing running after this right now?
Yes. That one where you flipped it between your legs. Canerco doesn't use his glove. He barehands it.
I think that topped it off. I mean, it was obviously everything that I did was awesome, but with him barehanding it, I think it just put it over the top.
Two balls, one strike. The 2-1 pitch is full foul on the ground. Barreto hanging in there. Count two balls, two strikes with Mark Burley. His lovely wife, Jamie, is with us also. And when your son sung the national anthem today, your son singing that song, talk about no nerves. Didn't show anything.
Well, leading up to this, I was the most nervous wreck, and both Braden and Brooklyn were like, Daddy, it's not a big deal. Why are you nervous? It's not, just go out there and talk. That's all you got to do. Braden, honestly, from the time that he said he wanted to the offer to sing it, he's like, let's go. Let's do this. I'm ready to do it tomorrow. He nailed it. Brooklyn nailed it. I mean, it's awesome to have them out there and to be able to do this stuff. I mean, that's a
probably once in life opportunity.
I have a question to ask you. Do you remember the Schilling jersey that you wanted me to take over that clubhouse? Do you remember that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where did you get that? Where did you get that? What, that wasn't even a replica. Was so bad.
No, it was Ed Farmer walked into the locker and pulled it out of Schilling's thing and said, "Sign this, son of a gun, because you're getting rid of it."
The 2-2 pitch, a high fly to left. This is Karen, and this ball's well tagged. Cabrera at the track. He's at the wall. It's a two-run homer for Barreto. A strikeout. Now he's in the penthouse with a two-run homer. 6-0 Oakland here in the third.
The A's with three home runs today. All home runs, first time of their careers. James Shields has provided some memories these guys will never forget.
When we talk about that jersey, though, when I came in, you said, how well do you know Schilling? And I said, I know him well. You said, can you get him to sign this? I look at the jersey he's got. Hey, where'd you get that, at Kmart? Nothing wrong with Kmart stuff, but the jersey, I said, he won't sign this. I'm not taking that over there.
It was pretty bad.
Pretty?
Yeah, Farmio looked at it and said, no.
No, I can't take that over.
I'll be back.
I'll be back. What's up with else?
With his game jersey, I think he probably wore the day before.
Well, no, Schilling says to me, he goes, what do you need? I said, I need one of those jerseys. Do you know how many they had? They had three road jerseys. And he goes, I'm pitching on Wednesday. He goes, I'm pitching on Wednesday. I said, well, how many are you going to pitch in? Give me that jersey. And I'm walking out of the clubhouse, and I know you don't know the story. He said to me, I don't want to see that on eBay from you tomorrow. I said, hey, Shill, I don't need a dollar and a half that bad. This is going to a good cause. Goodbye.
Nope, it's in my house. It's in a souvenir. I collect all that stuff.
There's a slide at first base by Abreu on a topper off the bat of Brugman, and he's out three unassisted. There's some weird outs in this game already, and we're in the third inning. How about that?
You know what happens? I feel old. I look at this lineup, and I have no idea how half these guys are.
Let me tell you, we do that too.
And you're on it every day.
Yeah. We go, who's that guy?
What's
he
going
on? Last week.
Where's this guy from? Yeah. No, there's a lot of turnover, but you're right. You know what? You're just removed from the game a couple of years, okay? And you're enjoying this time with your family, I know. But in the not-too-distant future, you're going to have some association with the White Sox other than coming in and saying hi. You available to do some special appearances, things like that?
Eventually, I'll get to that point. Right now, I haven't thought about it. No one's brought up and asked me, but I'm so focused right now on the family time and all the stuff that we missed out on.
Right.
You know, and they're getting to the age right now that it's like it's so fun to be involved, and they're getting into so much stuff. I'm busier than ever, but
yes.
I wouldn't trade it for anything. But, yeah, eventually I would like to get back into it, helping out, doing something. But right now, I mean, I don't want to spend time, you know, leaving and flying out and traveling every couple weekends, right, or whatever it is. I'm just focused on being at home and being with the kiddos and the dogs, and, you know, just spending a family time in the summer at home, because I haven't been able to do that for probably 20 years, you know, right, with college and everything else.
One ball, two strikes. There's a swing and a tap foul up the third baseline. This is Adam Rosales from the Northwest suburbs. An even count of two balls, two strikes with Mark Burley. Retirement is number 56 today. And from all of us, we couldn't pick a better guy to have that done. Why did we wait so long? The 1-2 pitch to Rosales. Fouls that one off. Talk about the All-Star game. Talk a little bit about your gold gloves and some of the things that you represent that we may not touch on right now.
Again, stuff that happened that probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, obviously, I just like to have fun and go out there and try to get guys out and try to stay in the big leagues as long as I could.
Yeah.
Because you never know. I mean, you could get hurt. You could be sent out.
You were never on the disabled list.
No.
Caught every one of the first pitches except the day you were throwing. I'm not so sure you didn't catch a first pitch day you were pitching.
I didn't at the beginning, because every time somebody famous went out there, one of the veteran guys would take over. And I'm like, man, I got Ronald McDonald out there. I got Barney I got to catch. And then all of a sudden,
Barney?
Justin Bieber or somebody shows up and they're like, hey, I'm taking this.
Yeah,
it's like,
I got
dang
it.
So then once it got a little further in my career, I kind of finally said, hey, if you want to take this one, you got to do it for the next 2 weeks, because I'm not doing it just for the nobodies. I want to meet the famous people.
Yeah.
But it was cool.
Most famous person you met?
It was probably Bieber at that time he threw it. But this was before he was big. And
right,
I remember
yeah.
my nieces at home, they're like, you met Justin Bieber? I'm like, yeah.
It wasn't a big
so
deal.
What?
Yeah.
He's just a little kid. Yeah. What's the big deal?
This was before, I think, what he got to where he's at now. But,
right.
yeah, it was. But, again, I mean, I've met so many people out there, and it's just, I don't know, it's awesome.
Three balls, two strikes, and the 3-2 pitch to Rosales. Did he go? It was in the dirt. Yeah,
Oof.
He went. He's out on strikes. Mark, we know you have other things to do today. From all of us with the White Sox organization, for all the White Sox fans, Darren and myself, God bless you.
Thank you, you're
always in our hearts, your whole family.
Thank you, Jamie, also.
God bless you and your children.
We miss you, Mark. Nice job, Jamie,
with the men in your heart and also your daughter. These are great children. Nice going. We're back with the White Sox half of the third. It's 6-0 Oakland.
That was Mark Burley with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson. A real cool conversation. Mark had finally got to let his hair down a little bit. He had finished his speech right in front of 40,000 White Sox fans. I know he was nervous for that. And everything about yesterday was great. The whole ceremony, everybody's talking, everybody's speeches. It was just a really, really cool environment. And we're happy to bring some of it to you here on White Sox Weekly in case you missed any of it or just wanted to relive some of it. We've got to take a break here. After the break, you're going to hear Carlos Rodon is going to come back and make his next start for the White Sox. It'll be this week while the Sox are here at home. Not sure if it'll be against the Yankees or the Rangers, but he spoke with reporters just about 20 minutes ago. And, of course, you know, we're all about bringing you the latest White Sox news. So you'll hear from Carlos Rodon next on White Sox Weekly. This is WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. Just a couple minutes left before we start the pregame show. You can come celebrate Christmas in July on Friday, July 28th, when the Chicago White Sox take on the Cleveland Indians at 7:10 p.m. Be sure to stay for the postgame fireworks presented by Athletico Physical Therapy. My family's always done fireworks on Christmas. It's a thing. Christmas fireworks. It's awesome. Athletico Physical Therapy, better for everybody. Purchase tickets today by visiting WhiteSox.com or by calling 866-SOX-GAME. Carlos Rodon will make his next start for the Chicago White Sox. It'll be this week. We don't have a day quite yet, but he did speak with the White Sox beat reporters just a couple of minutes ago, and we wouldn't be doing our job here on White Sox Weekly if we didn't bring you Carlos Rodon. So here he is, Carlos Rodon.
What'd you learn from all this, if anything, I guess?
I established a true routine. It's the biggest thing, something to do every day. Every day has a purpose, and that was the main thing.
Did you feel that was maybe missing a little before this? Or?
Yeah, I could say, yeah. Now that's what you're a little young, you roll out of bed, you can just throw. Now it takes a couple other things to get ready and go.
Are you talking about stretching, strength, conditioning?
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Okay. I mean, they had a lot of this group of medical people and strength and conditioning people have had tremendous success with people, pitchers in this organization. So you just glom down to that pretty much?
Oh, yeah. They do a great job. They got me going, so I'm back. So obviously they did a great job.
You feel an experience like this helps you not grow up but mature a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you don't get to play with your teammates. You get to sit out and watch from the sidelines or, watch on the phone, watch them play. So that's always tough. And, it just makes you work a little harder every day.
What's different about your routine right now?
There's something, I'm not going to get real specific, just something to do every day. It's something to get ready. Always getting ready to throw day in, day out. Might be an arm thing, a couple weights or whatever it is.
Have they given you a date this week that you're going to go?
Not yet, not that I know of, but I'm sure I'll pitch in the next week sometime.
Stuff-wise, how back did you feel on your last
I felt pretty good. Everything was pretty much there. Slider was back. Velocity came up, and a couple change-ups were good.
Yeah, I mean, you've made a number of starts up here, right, in the big level. You think this next start's going to have a different feel, though, because it's been gone for a little bit?
I hadn't played here all year, so I'd be a little geeked up and ready to go. Plus, I get to face the Yankees, a good team. Good swinging bats there.
Can you relate what it's like to watch your team and your guys, 1,500 miles away competing without you?
You're kind of like a fan, so it's tough. You're really invested. Sit down on the couch, what time you're going to be on the couch every day ready to watch. Always invested in watching those guys. It's different outside looking in.
Did you lean on anybody to kind of help you get through this process?
I had a couple guys. Met James and Charlotte. We worked together. Petrichka and I were together in Arizona. I'm not saying it's good for them to be down there, but it's good to have someone with you, a buddy.
What were some of your impressions in Charlotte, just maybe as being able to watch guys like Lopez or Giolito?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of talent. It was good to go down there and watch those guys. A little different, those guys are kind of more my age. I mean, we got a young team, but, the mean age there is, what, 24, 23 years old. Everyone's the same age. It's a young team, and it's fun to be there. It's not where you want to be, but, you know, it was good to, you know, hook up with those guys and just be a teammate there for a little while. I mean, it's a lot of talent. Watching Moncada is fun. Swinging it again.
That's White Sox pitcher Carlos Rodon. He is coming back and will make a start. Sounds like against the Yankees. Not sure which ball game he'll take, but he will take the ball, and that's good news for the White Sox. That does it for us here on White Sox Weekly. A huge thank you to Dave Zaslavsky, Jonathan Bregman, and Tyler Bravo. Without the three of them, we don't have a chance of getting you everything we did from the Mark Burley retirement ceremony yesterday. A huge day for the White Sox organization and White Sox fans, and we got to bring all of it to you yesterday and today here on White Sox Weekly. And I thank those three gentlemen for doing their fine work. And just I just press buttons. That's all I have to do. Thanks for listening. We will start the pregame show in just a little bit. You'll hear from Carlos in case you missed Carlos, in case you want to hear from Ricky Renneria. We'll get all that to you. The latest White Sox news, too. Sox and A's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Derek Holland, Sonny Gray, as the Sox are looking to salvage one in this three-game set before the Yankees come into town. Thanks for listening to White Sox Weekly. Pregame show's next. Keep it here on WLS AM 890.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890, the proud home for White Sox baseball.